All right, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 17. Are y'all doing okay? Is it okay if I preach? It's getting a little late. Acts chapter 17. Gordon and Vicky, you didn't know you're going to get this much goodness tonight, did you? All right. 42 years. You understand so much good and so much bad can happen in 42 years. So I want you to see, I want to go through a progression of Paul's ministry. And you'll see where I'm going when we get there. But look at Acts chapter 17 and verse 1. This is the beginning of the church in the last days. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. So the reason I say it's the beginning of the church in the last days is Thessalonica is the church of the last days. Every chapter in 1 and 2 Thessalonians deals with the second coming. Every chapter. So we're in Acts chapter 17, and I want you to see the reasoning of the preacher. Look what his manner was. Verse 2. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them and reasoned, in three Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the scriptures. So what's his manner? Reasoning with them out of the scriptures. And this is something that we need to do. The word, you can't reason someone into something that they don't come to reasonably. Come, let us reason together. What's that passage about? My sin. My sin. So he reasoned with them not out of philosophy, not out of culture. He reasoned with them out of the scriptures. Folks, you and I need to become so familiar with the scriptures that whenever someone has a question, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give a reason to anyone or to be ready always to give a reason to them to ask, I'm messing it up. What is it? An answer. To anyone that asks something. That's the I can't remember the verse version. Y'all know what I'm talking about? It's in there. We need to know. I prayed on the way here that God would help me be humble. I did. It worked. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to anyone that asks you a reason for the hope that's in you, in meekness and in fear. We just have to be ready to reason with them out of the scriptures. Yelling at people isn't going to do it. We need to reason with them out of the scriptures. So, and of course, that was his material. Look at what it says. You reason with them out of the scriptures, verse 4, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered. So opening and alleging, this is what exposition is. This is what expository preaching and teaching is. It's opening up the scriptures, laying them side by side, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Jesus said, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The Bible says that the natural man, he doesn't understand the things of God. They're foolishness unto him. You got to be spiritual. And we understand it by comparing things spiritual with spiritual. So what did he do? His manner, he went to where they were. His material was the scriptures. His method, opening and alleging. And what was his message? Christ had to suffer, die, and rise again. That's our message. That's our message. And we've got to say it over and over and over again. You don't need Christ for your friend. You need him for your Savior. Let me say that again. You don't need Christ as your friend. You need him as your Savior. And then he will be the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. This idea that you need a relationship with God. No, you need to be reconciled to God. Our presentation of the gospel must become biblical and scriptural. It has to be. That's the gospel message, and that's the message that changes lives. Then, look at the reaction of the people. Verse 4, some believed. Some believed. And here's what's going to happen when you start giving people the gospel. Praise God, somebody will believe. And then here's the other thing that's going to happen. Look at what it says. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas and of the devout Greeks and a great multitude and of the chief women, not a few. Is that Pocahontas? Anyway. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. That's one of my favorite descriptions in the Bible. And gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar. So some believed, but some were grieved. I'm just telling you, if you take a stand for the Lord and you start teaching, preaching, giving the gospel to people, some are going to believe, but some are going to get really mad. So if you've not had anybody mad at you for giving the gospel, then you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Right? Just expect it. It's so good when you know what's coming. Doesn't that help you? Isn't it better than being blindsided? I don't know what made her mad. Right? Laura Petrie, if you don't know, I'm not going to tell you. Reaction of the people. But then what happened? Man, some deceived. Look at what it says. Some believed, some were grieved, some deceived. And it says, but the Jews, verse 5, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort and gathered a company and set all the city on an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. And what were they saying about it? So whom Jason, verse 7, hath received, and these do all contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. What are they saying? That there's going to be an insurrection. Does that sound familiar? Well, just expect it. It's coming. So this is the founding of the church at Thessalonica. Now, go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. You see the way that the church was founded. How was the church here founded? Preacher and his family came here, started reasoning with people out of the scriptures, gathered the group together. Some believed. Brother Sal, did anybody ever get mad? Anybody ever lie about you? Yeah. That's what's going to happen. And as you continue, that cycle will happen over and over and over again. And so here's what the Apostle Paul did. Paul was only there for a short period of time, and then he writes 1 and 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, look at verse 1. This is the only prayer request we have of Paul's. And look at what it says. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. This is what we need to pray, that the word of God will be glorified and have free course. What does that have free course? That it'll accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. That has to be our prayer, and that we'll be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men, for all men have not faith. So this is always the juxtaposition. Preach the word. Pray that something special will happen with it. Pray that God will do something special with that word. And God, give us liberty. Give us liberty to do it. Give us the opportunity to do it. Help the government to stay out of what we're doing. Right? It's just vital. That's the prayer. And do you know what's wonderful? God answered that prayer. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse 16. You know what? Let's back up a little bit and look at verse 6. For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Imagine, this is the Apostle Paul. This is the one that God gave revelations far above anyone else. This is the one that God used to write a third of the Bible. And look at what he needs. Look at what he needs. It says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. That's what's called an imprecatory prayer. Of whom, be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Interesting. When you're doing God's work, people are going to come against you. And it's the pastor's job to warn people about these false teachers. You know that that's not considered loving anymore, right? Now look at what it says in verse 16. At my first answer, no man stood with me. But all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Now here's the answer to that prayer from 2 Thessalonians. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me, look at this, the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. I was able to preach the word everywhere that God wanted me to preach the word. I was able to do it. The word of the Lord did have free course. The word of the Lord has been glorified, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Listen, until right now. Go to Acts chapter 28. So remember, Paul did everything he could to get to Rome. He ended up going there on a ship of Alexandria in chains. He meets with the Jews there in Rome. Verse 28, Acts 28, 28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Notice, not see it. They'll hear it. The word's no longer confirmed with miracles. Now the word of God is preached, and it's confirmed with Scripture. But notice what it says. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Do you think that this is what Paul planned when he went to Rome? That he was going to be imprisoned? He was going to be imprisoned for 2 years. He got out for about 3 more years, and then he was taken back during the Nero persecution, and he was finally killed. Let me ask you, do you believe that this was the end of the story that the Apostle Paul would have written for himself? Is this the end of the story that you would write? It's like right now, if you wanted to fly to another country and you've got 2 weeks of vacation, but you've got a quarantine for 2 weeks. That's not the way that you planned it. That's not the way that you planned that trip. Now here's the Apostle Paul in prison for 2 years, and he's still doing the Lord's work. But none of us, please get this, none of us get to write the end of our own story. See, we can look at the history of Hope Baptist Church, and God has been faithful. Can you say amen to that? Amen. People have been saved. The word of God has been preached. Lives have been changed. Missionaries have been sent. There's an influence around the world. God has been faithful. And I can guarantee you this, that he will continue to be faithful. But we don't know what that faithfulness of God looks like in our lives. If you have a Christianity that will not work without Donald Trump being president, that's not biblical Christianity. See, we have lived in a parenthesis of liberty and freedom. All of my life I've heard preachers say, persecution is coming, persecution is coming, persecution is coming. Can you all agree with that? And now persecution is here, and here's what I hear. What are we going to do? We know it's coming, and our job has not changed. And none of us can write the end of our own story. So I just want to give you some thoughts about this tonight, and we'll be done. First, the end of the story is almost never as we would have written it. The end of the story is almost never as we have written it. I've got a close friend that died last night, 64 years old. He died on his 64th birthday. And I mean, this guy's just a man of God. He's helped thousands of people. This is not the way that I'm sure he wrote his story. You might be in a place right now, whether it's in your marriage or in your career, in your spiritual life, and you're saying, I never thought I would be here. I never thought this would happen. And sometimes we pray, God, I've been faithful. How could you let this happen? You know, we don't get that from the Apostle Paul. He just kept preaching. He kept teaching. See, the issue is, whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. And the Apostle Paul was not only content, he continued ministering. That doesn't mean he didn't have needs. He needed a coat. He was cold. He needed study materials. He needed the scriptures. He needed those things. The end of our story is almost never as we would have written it. And the other thing is, God's ways are not our ways. God's, maybe I'll have the opportunity sometime to tell you our testimony, but just briefly, when just right before I graduated from college, my wife and I had a baby, and he was born with trisomy 13. He had an extra 13th chromosome. That means that every cell of his body was sick. Down syndrome is an extra 21st chromosome, so it's a similar thing to that. And 3 weeks before I graduated, Riley died. And we were just talking about it at lunch because the pastor's wife was at the funeral. She was a freshman in college, and Brother Sexton preached the funeral. And I'm just telling you, that changed me. And without trying to be funny, I needed it because I'm kind of a jerk. Insensitive, you know, kind of a robot. You know, like my buddy Dalton Robertson calls me Data. And here's what happened. Riley died. I went to work as an assistant pastor just a few weeks later for almost 2 years, and then I came to Sydney, Ohio. In my first year, there were two children who died in the church. And here's what I know. I would have said the most awful things to those people. Do you know how I know? Had a friend, a Christian friend that I worked with before I went back to Bible college. He had twins. They had twins, and they were stillborn. And I said, well, at least you hadn't got to know them real well. I said that. I was trying to comfort him. Folks, God's ways are not our ways. How many of you think I would have chosen for my wife to have to bury her son? I would not have chosen that. God's ways are not our ways. You know what I'm thankful for? That wasn't the end of the story. God's grace is such a real thing, folks. And if you're going to serve God, God is going to bring things into your life that you need to be comforted for. And that's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, that God comforts us so that we can comfort others with the comfort wherewith we have been comforted. I heard someone say one time that he believes that every time a pagan gets cancer, a Christian gets cancer, so the world can see the difference. And so the question that we have to ask ourselves is, does the world see the difference? Do we believe that God is faithful? You see, we cannot write the end of our own story, and God's ways are not our ways. I wouldn't have written that for Paul. But here's what I love. Our prison can be our pulpit. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul did. I want to tell you about some other people that did that same thing. There was a man named John Waller. In spring of 1771, as he was holding a church service in Caroline County, Virginia, the minister of the parish, that would have been the Episcopal minister, with his clerk and with the sheriff, came into the place. The minister rode up to the stage on his horse, into the church, rode his horse into the church, and his riding whip, took that whip, took the end of it, and drove it through John Waller's teeth while he was preaching. Do you think that's the story that Waller would have written for himself? The clerk pulled Waller down and dragged him to the sheriff, who stood at a distance. The sheriff received him and whipped him in so violent a manner that poor Waller was presently in a gore of blood and carried those scars to the grave. Waller, sore and bloody as he was, he remounted the stage and preached that the best oil for the sanctuary is beaten oil. He preached the word of God. He preached 35 years, baptized more than 2,000 people, assisted in ordaining 27 ministers and starting 18 churches. Do you think that's the story that Waller would have written? You see, as we enter into this 21st century, what in the world's coming? Is there going to be persecution? I was in Ghana, West Africa, teaching discipleship to 500 pastors. And there was a young man who had just come from China, and he'd met with some underground pastors. And he said, "What can we do for you?" And here's what the Chinese pastor said to him: "Leave us alone. American Christianity can't bear persecution." Is that true? Is that true? I'm just telling you, through this COVID thing, we've not acquitted ourselves very well. John Weatherford would preach in Chesterfield County in 1773. He's preaching. He was imprisoned for preaching. And people would gather around his jail cell to hear. They're outside. He's in the jail cell. And he'd put his hands through the bars and he's preaching through the jail cell window. And men came with knives and slashed his hands. And he bore those scars until he died. Kept preaching the word of God. Kept going. Eventually, Patrick Henry secured Weatherford's release from jail. When Weatherford sent him £5 to pay for it, he sent it back. Later, Patrick Henry, 1787 and 1788, got saved and became an evangelist for the Lord. James Ireland, this one is just so sad. James Ireland formed several Baptist churches during his ministry, which extended over 40 years. His influence of truth was great. This led the Episcopal clergy of Virginia to stir up social and legal persecutions against him. He was thrust into jail in Culpeper for preaching without the authority of law. Can you see that coming soon? Abuse was not. Let me just tell you, that just happened. My friend Jerome Pittman up in, by the way, he said to say hello. He appreciates this church. There's a pastor there in Canada that's in jail right now because he had church during the COVID. He was thrust into jail in Culpeper for preaching without authority of law. Abuse was heaped upon him on his way to prison. Within its walls, an attempt was made to blow him up with gunpowder. And on its failure, an effort was made to suffocate him by burning brimstone at the door of the jail. When that didn't work, they tried to poison him, but it didn't get him. His daughter was visiting him in prison, and she got in the jail, and she got the poison and died. In America. In America. How many of you think that was the story that James Ireland had intended? There's a man, his name was John Corbly. John Corbly pastored in Pennsylvania, Goshen County, Pennsylvania. And he was walking to church in 1782, and his family was up ahead of him. And he was at Fort Girard, and that's where the church was. And so he's studying his sermon, reading the Bible, and all of us preachers, we know that on Sunday morning, that's what we're thinking about is our sermon. The family's up ahead, and he hears a blood-curdling scream. He runs to see what's going on. They're in the woods. And he comes around a corner just in time to see an Indian bury his tomahawk in his baby's head. The next thing, his wife Elizabeth is killed. Another daughter is killed, and his daughter Delilah is scalped. I stood by Elizabeth's grave, and on the gravestone, it says, "Beneath the Indian's tomahawk, me and my babe we fell, was carried hurriedly away with Jesus for to dwell, little baby Isaac." I have a letter that Corbly is writing to a friend asking for prayer because he doesn't know how to care for his scalped daughter. Corbly went on to start 35 churches in Virginia, Pennsylvania, and Kentucky. His daughter Delilah came to Ohio, and she's buried in Troy, Ohio. She and her husband helped start the Fourth Baptist Church in the state of Ohio. How many of you think that that's the story that they would have written? And I know that many of you, you have a story. You might be a widow. And you say, this is not where I expected to be right now. You might be a widower. And you're saying, this is not the story. This is not where I expected to be. You might be a Christian that's looking at the political situation. And you're saying, man, our government is corrupt. And I've lost confidence in the media. I don't know what to do. How about we turn to Jesus? And we understand that the mission of Hope Baptist Church has never changed. The ease of ministry may have. Dr. Larry Clayton has become a mentor. He was at my ordination. He's helped start 130 churches. And his son Steve Clayton is a good friend. And we were all together. And Brother Clayton said this, man, I don't know what it's like starting a church right now. He said, when we started these things, man, all you'd do is you put up a tent and you'd start preaching and everybody would come. You put up a tent, now they call the police on you. Different world. Can I ask y'all a question? And we're done. Let's go ahead. Let's stand up. Let me just ask you this question. Does the gospel still work? Does Laodicea stop the gospel? We don't know the end of the story for Hope Baptist Church. And you know, we hope it's the trumpet. Right? That's what the preacher said that this morning. That's what all of my life, I'm always expecting Jesus Christ to come. So did Paul. Then we which are alive and remain, remember when he said that? We don't know the end of the story. But how many of you know that the word of the Lord is going to have free course and be glorified? And that we'll be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men who have no faith as long as God chooses to do that. I heard this when I was a teenager. I was you guys' age. That's back when things were written on stone tablets. And it's that you're indestructible in God's will until he's done with you. How many of you believe that? Folks, I feel like that we're full of fear. We're full of anger. We're full of resentment. Sometimes we're full of pride. And what we need to be is full of the Spirit. And we as a church, Grace Baptist Church in Sydney, Hope Baptist Church in Toledo, we need to recognize what this church was started to do. And I believe that its greatest days are yet ahead. But let me say this. But we don't know what they look like. God's hand could be mighty with a smaller congregation. What happens if they start putting people in prison? What are we going to do? What happens if they take the building away? Can we still have church? Have you ever heard the church is not the building? Have you ever heard that? Could we have church if they took the building away? And I got to tell you, honestly, as a pastor, that might be a blessing. Buildings are a bummer. But it's really important that we understand that there's a purpose for this church. And elections don't change that. Media liars don't change that. Progressive Christianity doesn't change that. Contemporary Christianity doesn't change that. Nothing changes that. All that is required of a steward is that he be found faithful. So here's my prayer for you. I don't want you to have to go through the loss of a child in order for God to use you. But I don't write your story. So here's my challenge for you. Number one, trust God. Trust Him with your story. Number two, believe His promises. And number three, obey His commission. Listen, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. Pastor.